This is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction Show. Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. Today is Thursday, November 19, 2015. Returning once again to our exploration of past shows, we return to December 2012, when I interviewed a wife and mother named Elizabeth Hamilton, who has struggled with debilitating allergies to nuts. Forced by circumstances to learn how to identify and then overcome her allergies through careful food selection, she turned her allergies into a career devoted to sharing information about food allergies and helping to educate the world about the deadly risks inherent to those of us unfortunate enough to have these allergies. After then suffering through the trial and ordeal of her father's stroke and recovery, followed by her creation of the Maine Cookie Company, which twice winning the Mrs. Maine contest, she then founded the Best Ever You Network, devoting to help people meet their full potential. Today, it's a highly successful network of hundreds of contributors and authors on the subject of reaching one's dreams. That's Elizabeth Hamilton from December 2012. With me today, Elizabeth Hamilton, one of the most interesting and amazing people you'll ever want to meet. She is a former Mrs. Maine USA in 2006. She owns her own business, a cookie business. She has an amazing resume of all kinds of things that she's been doing in her life. And I think just from what I've read on her website alone is enough to tell me this is somebody I want to know more about and that listeners want to know more about. So, Elizabeth, thank you for joining me on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me and inviting me here today. I am very looking forward to it. Thank you.
You're not the only one. I've been looking forward to it, too. And, in fact, Louise was very regretful. She wanted to be a part of this one today, and she couldn't at the last minute. So she asked me to wish best wishes to you during the interview and say she really misses the fact that she couldn't actually get to be a part of the conversation.
Oh, and to her as well. Well, she's here anyway. We're talking about her. So
that's right.
We brought her into the conversation anyway.
That's right. So I'm not sure where to begin on this because you have such a broad resume. I think I'll start with the cookie company because that one really caught my attention almost more than anything else. The Maine Cookie Company, how did you get involved in doing that and tell me about it?
You know, it's funny because it's actually a decision I made about in 2002 or so. I decided to quit my job and stay home with my children. And my mom said to me, you know, your college degree, you've been in the corporate world and you're only going to bake so many cookies before you go crazy. And sure enough, I turned it into a cookie company. And at the time we were living in California and up in Tahoe. So it was first the Tahoe Cookie Company, and we did real estate gifts, and I donated a ton of cookies to kids. And then when I moved to Maine, it took a children's literacy spin, and I was actually appointed the ambassador to Maine Reads here in Maine, and spent a ton of time, almost a whole, probably more than a whole year plus, touring Maine, going to schools, bringing cookies, doing story times, and it was just a blast, and it kind of took off all over the country, and since I've donated over 100,000 cookies to kids in connection with children's literacy now since about 2002, over a 10-year period of time, and I always hand make them, and it's just a blast.
Now, that's the part that astonishes me, because you have so much on your resume here, and as you say, you've donated that many cookies, let alone running the business itself. Where the heck do you find the time to do all these cookies by hand, in addition to everything else that you do?
You know, I don't do so much of that anymore. I make cookies all the time, but not in quantities that I was doing, you know, between 2002 probably and 2008. That was kind of my main focus.
Okay, but even then.
But I have a great husband. He would watch the babies. He would, you know, make some cookies didn't burn. You know, it was kind of a tag team effort. He always boxed them up. He was always right by my side. So it's really two of us doing this.
Through owning the company, a lot of, we've met a lot of famous people, and in particular one occasion, we had a big order through 826 Valencia in San Francisco, and it so happened that Robin Williams was going to be speaking as the main speaker at their event, and so I made probably 250 cookies for this function. And so, you know, of all the things that you think have happened, Robin Williams has had my cookies before. So I just think it's really cute. But
I think it's fantastic.
You set out to do one thing and something else happens. So it's always a journey.
Did he give you any feedback about the taste of the cookies?
You know, actually somebody who, it was funny, like, does he like them? And I was talking to this gal, and he didn't directly give me any feedback, but the lady who was the chairperson of the event said that he absolutely loved them. I think he ate like five of them or something. I can't remember.
Oh, cool. That's really great.
Yeah.
So not only can you claim that Robin Williams' organization ordered your cookies, but he liked them. That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
So you did that from 2002 through 2008, trying to balance that with everything else you did in your life, and I'm still not sure how you did that, but you did. And then in 2006, you did something that not too many women do. What did you do?
You know, I decided to enter a pageant, actually, feeling very much like the grandma of the group, because it's a married women's pageant, and you can be 20 and married, or you can be 50 and married. And so I landed somewhere in the middle of that pack, and as it turned out, was, you know, not the oldest person there, but fairly close, and one of the ones with the most children. But I won the Mrs. Maine pageant and went on to represent Maine at the Mrs. International pageant in Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was, I've been Mrs. Maine twice. So I've been Mrs. Maine in 2006 and also Mrs. Maine 2011. So I've done the pageant twice, one for the USA system and one for the Mrs. International system.
What made you go back a second time? I would think that the stress and all that of the first one would be enough.
You know, really, no. I went back because the second time especially, I'm the owner. My real job now for the past 5 years is the owner of Best Ever You, and I own the Best Ever You network, and I really went back. Really on a Best Ever You platform, but of all the things, the reason for owning the cookie company, the reason kind of for everything I do is that I'm absolutely dead allergic to nuts and peanuts, all nuts and all peanuts. And so I really felt like I had something to say and a platform to raise awareness for those with nut allergies, since one in 13 kids now has some type of food allergy.
That much, wow.
Yeah, a ton of people. So, you know, that's what drives a lot of the things I do, because, you know, I have a cookie company and it makes nut-free cookies for people. So I can go into a school, into a lot of these classrooms where there's all these nut allergies, and I know my cookies are safe.
Right, right. That's very cool. And then, like you said, you started the Best Ever You, I believe, in 2000. What year was it that you started that one?
2008.
2008.
That's
okay.
Really the primary thing I do, and I'm an author with Hay House, and I have a book coming out in August 2013 called Percolate: Let Your Best Self Filter Through. So in everything I do, I try to really live my life with purpose and meaning. And so, you know, it's not just really owning a cookie company. It's not just, you know, while it seems like cookies are great and everything, it's really to teach people about children's literacy and raise levels of awareness there, all the while making something nut-free for people who have allergies, so that awareness gets raised. And then the Best Ever You platform is to teach people that when they have something go wrong in their life, an accident, a health crisis, a divorce, or whatever, that you can continue on.
And it's an interesting fact that you started in 2008. That's why I wanted you to say it rather than me saying it, because, of course, that's the year the financial crisis hit the nation and the world, and 2009 was a year of recession and so forth. So you basically were doing what all the business experts tell you not to do, that is launch a business going into a recession, and yet you did it. What's the secret to success in that kind of a situation, do you think?
Bravery. Courage. You know, I cannot tell you how many times people have said to me, "What are you doing? Go get a different job. Go get a real job. Go, you know, what are you doing? You're too old for that." And, you know, there's no magic wand you wave and you have a business that's successful or anything like that. It's a ton of work. And that's really the secret to the success of it. I have been working, you know, and I have great kids and a husband who support everything I'm doing. And, you know, but there have been moments where it's been around the clock doing this business, for sure.
How do you deal with that? Because as an entrepreneur myself, and I'm sure there are entrepreneurs probably listening to the program, what's your secret for going through the tough times and getting through them to the good times? How do you get your frame of mind into the right place so you can just keep on going?
You know, one thing that I try and do with myself, no matter what I'm doing, is kind of create a baseline level of peace within me. And that really involves taking very good care of myself, knowing when I need to sleep, knowing when I might be getting sick so I sleep a little more, exercising, eating well. Things like that give you a very good foundation for which, you know, it's like a springboard from, you know, if you're healthy, you can kind of do whatever you're trying to do. And that's, I think, more than anything, what carries me forward is just a real baseline level of peace. And it's interesting. It took me a long time to figure that out because I went through the 2000s with strep throat or sick or whatever, and I'm just doing too much all the time. And so I back away and I do the things that are really meaningful to me. And when you do that, it just changes the whole scope. So you're not doing 10,000 things. You might still be doing 10, but you're doing them all with some purpose and peacefulness to it.
I think that's a really important point. I guess I would summarize it as doing what you love and really throwing your heart and soul into it. It's certainly one of the things that motivated Louise and I to start this program, but it seems to be a common theme, particularly among the most successful people, that the people who are most successful are also the ones who are doing what they love.
I think so, too. I you know, finding what really drives you and what you really, really love to do, kind of finding that job where, this is kind of cliche, but where you love to do it and it doesn't really feel like you're really working. I know, like right now on the radio, it doesn't feel like we're really working.
No, whoa, this is great.
yeah, exactly. And that's how you can tell you've found what makes you peaceful inside.
Right.
And if you can't picture yourself while being on the radio, you know, doing anything but being on the radio, you know you found what you love to do.
Now, as you were growing the business, especially in the early stages, and I'm talking specifically Best Ever You, like with any business, you run into those periods where, despite your best efforts, things go wrong and you start feeling down and so forth. Was simply maintaining that peaceful position enough, or did you find you had to do other things as well?
Oh, geez, yeah. There have been moments. You know, I've almost lost this company to a scam on the Internet.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
We were going down in flames at one point. And, you know, there's all sorts of stuff that happens to you. Not every day, you know, you're waking up and, you know, roses on the table, breakfast is made, and, you know, everything's perfect. No. There's definitely ups and downs, and, you know, we're not a staff of 50. We're, you know, a staff of 3 plus friends, plus husband funded, plus, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens with Best Ever You. And, you know, you just keep a positive mindset. When something, I always think when something, you know, we can put it in little quotes, bad happens or something painful that's happening, it's always an opportunity to really find what should happen.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. And, of course, the tricky part is trying to figure out what that opportunity is telling you. That for me, is always the most difficult step of all, because once I know what that is, I can figure out what the next step is.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes you also have to never be afraid to really fail, because that's going to be part of it. I mean, there's things I've done owning this company where I've been like, well, I don't think we're going to do that again. But what we are going to do is kind of lick our wounds from that and move in this direction instead. All with a smile and a positive attitude. And there's been tears, too, trust me. But just maneuvering through. Not everything's going to be perfect. It's rocky, especially when you're trying to start something new.
It's also interesting, as I was reading your page on your besteveryou.com website, the number of real big challenges both you and your family have gone through over the years. I mean, you mentioned yourself, your allergic reaction to almonds and nuts and so forth. There's also a reference to difficulties your father went through, that your brother went through, your husband went through. I mean, there have been a number of different things, and yet you have all managed to not only get through them, but to survive and thrive.
That's the whole point of Percolate, my book, which I'm very excited and proud to be publishing with Hay House. Just really excited about it. And, you know, it does. It's about those moments when something happens to you where you choose what your next move is. Are you going to stay down in the dumps, or are you going to go forward and, like I said before, like lick your wounds and move forward? And, yeah, you're right. In a period of 10 years, a lot of stuff has happened to both me, my family, people I know, and so forth. It's just been, you know, just the way life is. But my dad is a stroke survivor. In 2004, he had a stroke and a subsequent Coumadin overdose.
Mm.
And he fought for his life in the ICU unit in Burnsville, Minnesota. I mean, in Southdale, Minnesota, Edam, Minnesota, actually. For over a year, very scary period of time, and in a rehab facility. Also in Minnesota, my brother is, I have an adopted brother who my parents adopted at birth. His name is Justin Hamilton, and he's a survivor of one of probably the most heinous crimes in Minnesota. My brother was born addicted to cocaine and has fetal alcohol syndrome. My parents knew that when they adopted him.
Mm.
And very long story, but basically a few years ago, five people decided that they were going to torture him aside for 2 days. Yeah, I won't even go into the details, but basically if anybody Googles Justin Hamilton in Minnesota, beating survivor, that's my brother, and so his story is also in the book. And you know, really interesting about him is he's turned into quite a poet.
Really?
Yeah. Just he has a lot of issues, but when I heard you say survive and thrive, I think of my dad and brother.
Wow, that's really something.
Yeah.
So Percolate is partly autobiographical.
Yeah, sort of. Probably not written in that format exactly, but definitely has real life stories of many people, not just my dad and brother, included in it.
So give us a taste of some of the important lessons that you share in the book, because I suspect this one is just one of those books that's kind of loaded with all these little things that, you know, they're crammed into every corner and nook and cranny.
Well, really the whole entire book is about transformational change and how I think the one thing I love about the book is that, you know, it shows you that change is created in little baby steps, whether you want to lose weight, whether you want to recover from a stroke, whether you want to recover from learning how to deal with food allergies or get better grades. Take anything and think change, and how do you want to be the best you possible? Starts in baby steps, and that's really the gem of the book, I think.
Yeah,
learning how to change.
I would say so. I mean, you're definitely focusing on the right thing. I mean, obviously, our radio program here is about the law of attraction, and that's what you're applying there. You're saying, I don't want to focus on the stuff that's gotten me in the bad place. I want to focus on the change that's going to get me in the good place. And, boy, that's LOA all the way.
Yeah. And, you know, there's this one story in the book. I show a story a lot with people about my dad. And he had gotten to the point where we knew he was going to live, gotten out of ICU, and was moved over to a rehab facility to learn how to talk and walk again and come back to real life and function. And it was very questionable whether that was going to happen, but as the months progressed, he continued to improve. And there was this one point where a nurse came down and said, okay, well, we're going to take you to speech therapy, Jim.
Ooh.
And, you know, all of us are looking around going, he's not in any shape for speech therapy. You know, but they totally insisted that he was going, and so it took him about an hour to get him out of bed and move down to the speech therapy area, And he was, I'm absolutely, completely exhausted. Mm. And the lady said, okay, well, I see you're really tired, but while we're down here, we're going to just do this anyway. And the nurse said, we're going to play an alphabet game. And when I say a letter, I want you to tell me what word comes to your mind.
Okay.
Just to see if you can talk again ever. And so she said A. My dad said, aardvark.
Okay.
He was expecting with somebody who had that kind of trauma to say A and at.
Right.
Some tiny word my dad blurted out, aardvark. Well, she said, okay, well, I think he's going to be fine here. He's really tired, but he's got his speech intact. But she continued anyway, and so she said B. And he said benevolence. C was courage. D was determination.
Wow.
E was excellent. F was a total swear word. And he went on and on and on with all of these amazing positive words. And I was sitting in the room. And that's really where percolate was born.
Really?
Was born, because I called it the alphabet of life. And he looked at her like, not only can I speak, but through all this crap that's happened to me, I'm positive, and I'm going to live, and I'm going to walk, and I'm going to talk, and I'm going to finish my own book, and all these things. And my dad is coming on an airplane on Friday with my mom to visit Maine.
Oh, fantastic. That is absolutely wonderful.
just such an inspiration.
How nice to have that kind of inspiration to draw on for starting your book, too. I mean, what a great starting point.
But yeah, the first chapter is an aardvark and a platypus. He was platypus.
He's
crazy words.
Apparently, he has quite a vocabulary too, and he was determined to use it.
Oh, he's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, he's a writer himself. And after having a stroke, he came back and finished his book. And he's a survivor. We call him the ICU warrior. In 2011, he also survived a bout of kidney cancer and was back in the ICU for about 50 days.
Mm, my goodness.
He's just great.
He's had more of his share of difficult stuff, and he has just borne through it. He's just gotten there and said, that's behind me. I'm done.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I hope in this book that if anybody ever has a medical crisis, they read the chapters about my dad, because it really shows how to pull through if you can.
Now, does the book focus mainly on medical, or are there other things that you focus on?
Oh, no, it's definitely not a medical book at all. It's, it's not really about coffee. It's not about... it's really about change. And there's lots of funny stories in there. And it's, the book is based on, the alphabet of life through my dad's words. And just basically, what are you brewing in your head as far as your positive words? And how did it change?
So did I understand correctly, you named the chapters based on the various words your dad came up with during the speech therapy, is that right?
Yeah, each chapter is based on it.
Wow, that's really something. So I guess it must be a 26-chapter book then.
I'm sorry, I missed that?
It must be a 26-chapter book because there are 26 letters in the alphabet.
Yeah, there's a little more than that in it. But
okay.
But basically, but it's got all of that incorporated in all those words he used. Because I was sitting there with a notepad writing them down. Once we started talking, I'm like, great words, Dad.
Fantastic.
And he's the one so ill.
Let's get back to Best Ever You and the Best Ever You Network, because we really only touched on, and there's so much going on there. First of all, you have the network itself through the website, but you also have a radio portion to the network, online radio, and you have a publication. Just talk on each of those points for a moment.
Yeah, Best Ever You is a multimedia company which is out there to help people live their life to the best that they can, so to be your best. And to do that, I noticed that some people like radio, some people like print, some people like to be talked to personally, some people love the community of social media. And so we really threw all of those things into one place, and I thought one would take hold and it would become that. But actually, all of them have taken hold. So it's very cool. And so we do have a magazine. And I'm really, really proud. The timing is so wonderful to talk about it, because it just came out yesterday. I don't know what issue it is, but probably close to our 20th issue now of the magazine, I'm guessing. And it has Frank Stallone on the cover of it. So Sylvester Stallone's brother is on the cover of the magazine, and it's just a wonderful article about Frank Stallone. And so that's up online, and will also go into print here shortly within the week. And then we also have a radio program, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. If you find Best Ever You on Blog Talk Radio, we're there. And we've been doing that for 2 years. We're one of the highest rated shows on Blog Talk Radio. In fact, on Sunday, we just shot to number one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Cool. Yeah, I was really, really excited. We're in the youth category on that particular show, and we interviewed Miss America's Outstanding Teen.
Oh.
a girl about my son's age came on the radio with me for an hour and just blew everybody away. It was just such a great interview.
Wow, that is fantastic. And you've had quite a few good interviews over the years, haven't you? I mean, including some rather large names.
Yeah, you know, I love that radio show. You never know. I have this joke, like I'll be sitting eating whatever I'm eating for breakfast, and the next minute it'll be like, would you like to interview Ed Asner on the show? Okay. And, you know, it's really scary, too, because, you know, I'm not used to interviewing Ed Asner or talking to Ed Asner or anything like that. So, you know, you get these crazy butterflies in your stomach before you, you know, go on air with somebody like that. And it's just wild. But, yeah, through the course of the 2 years of that radio show, we've interviewed, you know, I can't even tell you who we've, Benedict Steiger. We've interviewed, like I said, Ed Asner. We've had Vince Vaughn's mom on the show. We've had Steve Vaughn on the show. She's adorable. Yeah, I could go on and on. I don't even have the list here in front of me, but just amazing people. Jane Velez Mitchell, just the support that has gone into making that radio show success has been incredible.
How do you manage to hook up with all these people? I mean, that by itself, let alone running a magazine and a show itself and all the other things you do, I mean, that alone is a major task, just reaching out and finding people.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but, you know, once you get going, you don't really reach out and find people. They find you.
And that's
kind of the momentum that built, and it's very neat. The show's actually booked up through April now.
Wow.
And I'm just solidly booked. If I need to squeeze somebody in, it's on a Sunday or something like that, because we do the shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And, you know, it's just like you said earlier, you know, when you really love to do something, I think that's what makes things successful. And it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks. It's you feeling good. Because
yes.
I know when I do interviews or when I talk to somebody on the radio show, what I absolutely love to do.
And what is the Motivation Marathon Teleseminar?
That is fun. That's actually not my brainchild. That's Deb Scott's brainchild.
Okay.
I'm included on that to help make it a success and so forth. She said, you know, kind of like one of those moments, I've got an idea. Do you want to help me do this? And I said, why, sure I do. It's called the Motivation Marathon. It's at motivationmarathon.com. And there are three founders, Deb Scott, me, and Gary Rochelle. And it started as like a little seven-person seminar, and this past January we had 47 experts and speakers involved. And the chairperson, you know, the main speaker of the whole thing was Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith.
Wow.
And so we gathered 47 experts in all different areas of your life and put on a 9-day seminar with, I think we had 9 and 10 interviews a day. It was like running our own little marathon, only on the radio. Deb and I were so exhausted, it took like a month to recover from it.
I can well imagine. And this is a teleseminar, so you're doing this. Is this via television, or is this via the Internet, or what is this?
It was Internet and radio.
It is,
and
okay.
We had so many people try to call in for that seminar that the next time we do it, we're going to have to do something else, because we completely destroyed their phone lines.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was wild. But what a great experience.
AT&T's coming after you.
Yeah, you know, what a great experience. And, you know, I hope that you take each person from that Motivation Marathon and put them on your radio show, because, you know, that's really how you build things. They're just, you know, just great people. And they all have something to talk about. And every person involved in that helps make somebody be better.
That sounds so cool. I mean, those are definitely the kinds of people that we're reaching out to. So, I mean, like, I can hardly wait to get on the phone and start calling these people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For a show like this, it'd be perfect.
That is absolutely fantastic. Now, I'm trying to skim over all the stuff because there's so much here on your resume that you've been doing over the last few years. Is there anything that I haven't touched on yet that you wanted to bring up before I go on to anything else? Because I wanted to delve into some of this deeper, but I want to make sure I don't miss something.
Sure, absolutely. You know, the only thing I would add is, you know, I'm a mom of four boys. Above all and everything I ever do, I'm a mom of four boys and they come first. I just want to make sure I say that. You know, my kids, I have been home.
Well, you better name your boys on the air. I mean, don't just identify them as your boys. You got to give them names.
Yeah. I have Connor is 17, Quinn is 15, Cameron is 13, and Quade, Quaid, Quade is 11.
Ooh, nice.
And they are fantastic children. They all get really good grades, and they, you know, but above all, they're really nice people. Mm. And they've been raised with Best Ever You and Living with Purpose and things like that, so they really do some cool things themselves. One of them has a YouTube channel that has a million hits on it, Little Stinker. You know? They do cool stuff. And so they're part of this whole thing. They help, you know, like one of my kids edited the audio files for the Motivation Marathon. When I get in a glitch on the radio and need a new headset, one of my kids steps in and shows me how. And so they've been part of this throughout the whole thing. And they're just neat.
That is truly fantastic. So it really is a family endeavor.
It really is, yeah.
Outstanding.
Behind the scenes, doing something.
And your pride in your kids is obvious. I mean, it just kind of glows on the radio. If something can glow on the radio, you're glowing right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, what I love about kids is they're to say my kids, I love kids in general too, but what I love about mine is they're each their own individual. You would think when you have four kids and they're in one household, they'd all kind of turn out the same. You know, we all do this, we all do that. You know, I had no idea when I started as a mom, you know, what to do or anything. And you learn that they're just such individuals themselves. And when you learn to really tap into that and foster each individual, it just makes for the neatest people.
Yes.
One's really good at baseball, one loves swimming, one loves medical things and all things very Best Ever You, and one's real, just generalizing briefly here, and one's very, the 11-year-old is a little techno hacker, you know.
Little thing.
I have a hacker for a kid.
That's actually quite useful, and most people don't realize this. Hacker is actually not necessarily the negative thing that people hear about, because they think about hackers being, you know, spammers or something like that. But a hacker is somebody who actually knows how to basically disassemble and reassemble a computer, disassemble and reassemble software, basically get at the innards of it. So a hacker is actually a very high distinction, not a low distinction.
Exactly, and I mean it only in the best way, too, because he's not over there hacking websites or anything like that. But
I
mean more is the funniness of hacker combined with, for 11 years old, that kid can do anything with a computer. It's freaky. I mean, we all got new cell phones. Like, we all upgraded to smartphones. And my husband and I are looking at the thing like, this is great. We have no idea what this does. You know, all the cool things it can do. And we had, like, a cell phone training session put on by our 11-year-old. And, you know, kids are just funny smart like that. It's cool.
And how many people can identify with the idea of my God, I've got this new piece of technology and I have no idea how it works? I think probably like 98% of the population can identify with that.
Oh, yeah. And if you have children, you know where to go. You go right to the nearest 11-year-old, you know, and they know exactly what to do with it.
I've said that for years. There are just never enough 11-year-olds around when you need them. That's all there is to it.
Funny.
So... Very cool. Well, let me go a little bit more into Best Ever You, because I think, well, obviously that's your big endeavor right now, and I think that's where I really want to dive in some more. You have put so much into this, and you continue to put so much into it. I mean, just putting out a print magazine. I used to work for a company that put out print publications. I know how much work goes into that, in addition to doing all the rest, but that alone is a major project. And I guess the first question that comes to my mind is, you're doing all of the stuff that goes into a magazine, which includes all the interviews, all the article writing, and so forth. At the same time, you're prepping to do your radio show and all the interviews you do there, in addition to the various forms of outreach you're doing to basically help people with what the Best Ever You Network was created for in the first place. I mean, that's an amazing thing. How do you balance that?
Well, I'm going to go back. Can I start with a magazine first?
Because
I don't want people to think that I'm sitting there writing the whole entire magazine.
Well, that makes me feel better, actually.
That magazine is, if you go to besteveryou.com and you click community,
okay,
we have a community of about 600 writers and experts and authors. So Best Ever You, the tagline is the magazine written by you.
Okay.
Now, I've got maybe a little editor letter in there, but what we do is if you join our community and you write something, our editors are in that community, and if you write something that catches their eye or is really popular or is helpful or, you know, whatever it is, it's got a good chance of going into the magazine into print. And that's really where we take our articles from, is from that community. And there are two wonderful people who, in addition to all of those writers, Liz Foley is the chief editor, and then Emily Davis Jansen puts the magazine together. So I kind of, at first, you know, in 2008, I was the one doing everything with that magazine. I mean, I lived and breathed it.
Sure.
But now it's kind of nice to be able to just take a little baby step back and let everybody do their thing.
Yeah, you're the publisher now who's waving the wand rather than trying to wear all the hats. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's changed over the years because that I was doing everything for a great period of time, you know, two or three period of time, and then it finally got to the point where you go, I need help, and people come to the rescue, and they do a phenomenal job of putting out that magazine, and I'm there. I mean, they're sending me proofs, and I'm like, no, don't put that one in or whatever. No, I'm definitely guiding the process, but I'm not in the nitty-gritty trenches actually putting it together. I see it more towards the end.
And I'm glad for you about that, too, because from what you were talking about earlier, especially during your 2000s period where you were running yourself into the ground and so forth, you've learned from that. You've said, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to do what I can do, and I'm going to spread the work out so that other people can do the rest of it rather than me trying to do it all myself. That's really phenomenal. That's a lesson that a lot of people in business don't necessarily learn.
Well, you know, no, they don't. And if you learn to share, instead of be scared, you know, a lot of people live in like, oh, I better not promote anybody else, or I'm jealous, or whatever. There's a lot of negative that goes with people, and if you flip that around and say, you know what, I'm not jealous of you. In fact, let me take it a step, crank it up a whole bunch of notches, and let me actually promote you. Why don't you send me what you're writing, and I'll promote it. And, you know, we've got 102,000 people that follow Best Ever You on Twitter. When somebody writes something and takes the time to write something in that community, you bet I'm blasting that out into our community.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, we've got people, we've got some writers who are launching careers just from being involved with Best Ever You now.
No
very
kidding.
Neat. Yeah, it's very cool. My favorite thing is to watch people grow, and I love to network and connect the dots.
Do any particular examples come to mind?
What did you say?
Do any particular examples come to mind?
You know, we've got just such a number of people that have been involved with Best Ever You. We've got Gary Kobat, we've got Shay Vaughn, we've got Natalie Case, Forbes Riley, and they've stepped in to help us, and we've in turn promoted them, and it's just a really great group of people. Deb Scott is a wonderful person. She sent me a book that she had written a few years ago, and it's won all these awards, and no, I'm not saying I'm directly responsible for their success or anything like that, but we're a part of their life. And we're definitely a part of their life, and they are a huge part of ours at Best Ever You. I mean, Gary Kobat co-hosts radio shows with me, and we just love the people that are involved with Best Ever You. They really make it what it is. It's not me sitting here saying, be your best, be your best, be your best. It's everybody helping everybody be their best. It's really cool.
I love the fact that you focused on Gary there for a moment, because one of the things that I've learned both through doing this show and through another show that I do on the Progressive Radio Network, the big joy in radio is the relationship you built online with co-hosts, with guests, so on and so forth. So I'm glad you touched on that, because people might not realize that. I mean, there are a lot of radio hosts and so forth who are, you know, totally in love with just talking into the mic and, you know, I won't name names, but we can all imagine the kind of people I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And frankly, that's the worst kind of radio you can do. It is so dull and drag you down kind. You're doing the kind that's fun and exciting, because you're integrating and interrelating with people, real people, and finding out who they are. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you're doing too. And that's, I agree with you. There's nothing worse than somebody who gets on the radio and goes, "Hello, I'm here to talk to you for the next hour, and I'm just going to talk, you know, and I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but I'm just going to keep going." And radio is actually, I think, a really tough medium, because you can't see you can't see me. I can't see you.
Right.
And our audience can't see us. So we've got to come across in what we say and in our voices to make it interesting.
But the cool part is we can hear each other. We may not be able to see, but I don't know about you. My eyesight is not wonderful. My hearing is wonderful. So for me, it's as if I could see you, because I hear better than anything else. So hearing is wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you there. And when you actually are... I love talk radio, especially because when you listen to the story, people are fascinating. When you listen to the stories people share, I don't even know what to say other than people are just completely fascinating. There are so many different people in the world to get to know, and what you don't do, somebody else does, and what you do, they don't, and it just is a great blend of people.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I would urge anybody who, even if you don't want to make a career out of it, if you can find some place that is looking for somebody to be a host or a co-host or whatever, just give it a try sometime, just to see if it fits you. If it doesn't fit you, then don't do it. But if you have any sense that it fits you, do it, because, oh, boy, it's a bunch of fun.
It really is. The people you meet, like, you know, you and I would have never met.
That's right.
And now what are we going to do? You know, the possibilities are endless of what we could do and who we're going to meet next and who's going to be on your show or my show or whatever. I mean, it just goes on and on and on if you take that angle instead of, fearful.
Right, because it's not a competition. It's not, like you say, there's no fear that has to be involved in it at all. The only fear that is involved at all for me is the first fear I felt the first time I did my first show. Like, oh my goodness, am I going to screw up?
And even if you do, the screw-up police aren't going to show up at your door and arrest you.
Funny thing.
If you, I've done shows where phone lines have dropped.
Mm-hmm.
We've all lived.
Yep.
We got up
yep.
the next day. We're alive. You know, and so that's a lot of stuff we put onto ourselves, when in reality people might have a good giggle about it or think, wow, that's happened to me too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, that's actually, when you look back, that's the fun part, when you realize, oh my goodness, I got through that.
Yeah, and then you grow and you say to the next guest, probably not a great idea to call in on a cell phone or whatever, and you learn and grow, and it just is what it is. And that is best ever you to explore growing, maneuvering, growing, changing, networking people together, and that is what we are here for.
You mentioned the cell phone thing. On the other show that I do on the Progressive Radio Network, it's called the Freedom News Hour. I have two co-hosts there. One of them, Jake Town, almost always calls in on his cell phone, and he has very good cell signal, so it almost never causes a problem. But we get guests who come on with a cell phone. Like you say, that can cause all kinds of problems, and Jake will often invite those guests on, and he doesn't get flustered at all about the fact that they're on a cell phone. You can't really hear them well. He just figures out, it's just cell technology. Don't worry about it.
That's funny. Yeah, we have a disclaimer on our site. If you call in on a cell phone and it drops, we reserve the right to make full fun of you while you call back.
Interesting policy. I'll have to take that one into account.
You can adopt that one if you want. It makes people call in from a landline.
I never thought of that one. I'm going to try that one sometime. That's really good. I'll make sure I attribute it to you, though.
No, it's okay.
So what do you see on the future horizon for, well, not only for you, but also for Best Ever You?
Well, you know, one of the people that I interviewed, I had the great pleasure of interviewing Robin Mead for the magazine. And I, when I first got on the phone with her, I said, you know, you were my goal. You were my goal. This is where I wanted to be. I wanted to interview you. When I set out to do Best Ever You, I said, boy, I hope at some point Robin Mead is on the cover of my magazine.
Wow, that is so cool. You actually hit one of your big goals.
Oh, yeah. And she said, well, sweetheart, you need to set some new goals. And so, you know, I've got some goals in mind. And one of the big ones is... another big one is being achieved, and I'm just so excited to have that book come out. That was a really big goal of mine. I really wanted to be signed with Hay House. I felt like we, you know, my mentor and Coffee Break author, Dr. Katie Eastman, when we first met, she said, you know, I think you and your ideas belong at Hay House. And so we are just so tremendously honored to join the Hay House family. I just can't even... words, as a writer, words, I have trouble coming up with the words to tell you how grateful I am to Reed Tracy, to Louise Hay, and to everybody at Hay House. It's just a huge honor to be a writer, a new writer with them.
And, of course, the reputation Louise Hay has is the basis for Hay House, and to be joining in on that, you're joining in on what is almost a legendary operation.
Yeah. So when you ask me what new goals I have, you know, that I'm focused on that right now. I really am. I'm so focused on that and getting that book. The final manuscript is due January 5th, and so we're getting everything in order. I just did a video for them yesterday. I just took the cover, the back cover photo for the book yesterday, and the things are really happening along those lines. And you know, my goal is to just really, my overall goal is this: when our lives touch, my goal is that we're both the best for it. That's my goal. So I don't set people goals anymore, who I want to be here or there or anything like that. It's sort of a bigger project at this point. I really want to start really just touching lives.
How do you see Percolate reaching out? In other words, how do you anticipate it actually getting into people's hands? Are you planning a particular launch campaign, or what are you planning?
You know, I'm learning that as I go with Hay House through the process there. But yes, I'm there's a marketing campaign and a launch campaign behind me. But I think in listening to Reed Tracy talk about books and how books become successful, my understanding is that really the main driving force behind a book being successful is word of mouth. And we've got a platform, so I'm pretty proud of that. We've got a number of people following us in social media and so forth, so we're hoping people will, you know, buy the book from there. But, you know, if a book is good, I think it really spreads through, hey, did you read that? Hey, did you see that? Hey, did you pick that up? Hey, let me buy this for you as a gift. You know, all those types of things.
And you mentioned that you have a platform. That is essential. One of the things that I have been doing that I'm actually trying to get away from, my main business has been in website design, development, online marketing, and so forth. And one of the things I counsel my clients on is you want to have your own platform to reach your own audience, because, as you say, that's how you get the initial word out there that gets the process going of passing that word of mouth. So, man, you're right on the exact track you need to be on.
Yeah, I hope so. And, you know, there's a lot of reliance on other people there for that. And,
there is.
I'm so grateful for people who say, hey, go to besteveryou.com, or, you know, pick up, listen to this radio show. Did you hear Frank Stallone on the radio the other day? Or listen to Walt's radio show. Did you hear Fred on there the other day? You know, that's really what makes the world go round, is people helping people.
You know, you mentioned Frank earlier because he's on the cover of this current issue of the magazine. What's he like? What kind of a person is he?
Oh, my gosh. He is such a dear sweetheart. The word that comes to mind is like giant teddy bear. I don't know why. He is just one of the nicest, most talented, most gifted, genuine, sweetheart people that I've ever not met in person yet. I mean, my thing when I had him on the radio with me, I'm like, you know, I love to fish, and at some point in my life, I'd love to go fishing with you, and I'll bait my own hook. You know, he is, he's such a great guy. He's 62 years old, and he's in amazing shape. He's a phenomenal singer. He's a gifted actor. He's just right there. And today, you know, it's Sylvester Stallone's brother, of course.
Right.
And today's a really big day for him. If you look on his Facebook, he's either going to get nominated for a Grammy or not.
Really?
For writing the theme song, Don't Want to Fight With Me, for Expendables 2.
Wow, that is very cool. Well, we'll have to put out our own best wishes here from LOA today. We'll put out a little LOA vibe to help him get that nomination.
Oh, yeah, and who knows what's going to happen or what, but, you know, bless his heart. You know, he's 62 and, you know, doing it.
Which just goes to prove that that age is not a limit.
Oh, no, and he's in great shape. I mean, he's just, I hope everybody reads that magazine article so they really understand who he is to the core. Because he's much different than his brother. He's a completely different human being. My understanding is that Sylvester doesn't sing so well. And he does. So, you know, I'm just teasing him. I'm sure Sylvester Stallone can do whatever he wants, and I really don't know him. But Frank is just a really gifted human being, and it's important to understand he's his own individual with his own gifts and talents.
And that is the way every single human being is, no matter who they're related to, and that's fantastic.
Exactly. Yeah.
Elizabeth, this has been a wonderful conversation. I want to thank you for joining us on the program today and wish you the best of luck with the launch of the book. I hope Percolate just absolutely takes off, and I hope I see it on the New York Times bestseller list. That would be really fantastic.
You and me both. I think it'd be really neat. But, you know, more than anything, I just hope it helps people and touches their lives. And, you know, I just want to take a moment and just thank you for allowing me to be here with you today, and good luck with everything. It's really hard what you're doing, and I get it. And so I will definitely recommend people to be on your show. I'm sure you have a ton of people already that you want to be on the show too, but you know, we'll help you, you know, percolate and be your best too.
Oh, love that.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'll definitely be in touch after the broadcast to help, you know, get in touch with some of those people, because you obviously know the best people. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That's Deb Scott's show. She's the best people we know, and I'm best ever you. And so Deb Scott will be a real fun interview for you, too.
That was Elizabeth Hamilton, founder of the Best Ever You Network. I hope you enjoyed this interview from December 2012. Next week, we have an exciting new development here on the show. Joel Elston, whom we interviewed the past few weeks, is joining me on a permanent basis as my new co-host. Hooray! Starting with our show on Thanksgiving Day. We've had some great conversations in the past, and you won't want to miss our first official show together as we discuss the challenges inherent in leaving our personal comfort zones. That's LOA Today on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, the 26th of November, here on PRN. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.